Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Scrutiny Management Board meeting. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. Please also note that under the openness of local government bodies, Regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. Item one, we have apologies.
None received.
Okay, item two is minutes of the previous meetings, which we've all had circulated. Can we agree them?
Yes, agree.
Thank you very much. Item three is disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. No disclosures. Okay, thank you very much. Item four is declarations of party whip.
No decorations.
Thank you very much. Item five is questions under scrutiny committee procedures 11.16, and no questions were submitted. Which brings us on to item seven. So item six we're going to come back to, but item seven, if members are agreed, we can take first because we've got a member, an officer who needs to go quickly, so we'll take that first.
I propose.
Thank you.
A second.
Brilliant, thank you very much. So if we have Councillor Taylor and Judy. If you all join us to the table, thank you.
It's last time we came, we had a couple of sicknesses and people missing, and it was just, it helps us furnish out information. So we're happy to say nothing, we're equally happy to cover questions together, and we'll start the format.
Right, brilliant. We've got item seven, which is a crime and disorder reduction and community safety partnership report. We've got Councillor Deborah Taylor here who chairs the committee. Over to you, Councillor Taylor, to present the report.
Thank you,
Chair. And then we'll ask any questions for clarification and do a Q&A session, if that's okay.
That's
brilliant.
Fine. Thank you, Chair. So the report is focused on the performance of the CSP set against its three strategic dreams from the 1st of April 2018 to the 31st of January 2019. Under each theme, there is emphasis of each priority, demonstrating the positive actions the CSP has undertaken to achieve its goals. To aid scrutiny, there is evidence of what has worked well to date under each theme, and commentary on what additional development work is required throughout the rest of the performance year. The report also provides some context in terms of both local and national crime trends and positive actions implemented by the CSP to address crime and disorder patterns. In terms of the current 2018-19 performance, the key successes to date are robbery is down by 16.7%, burglary, business and community is down by 32.4%, and violence against the person with injuries down by 8%. All crime remains over target as up by 12.7%, which is in keeping both with local and national trends. There are some contributing factors which are highlighted in the report, not least the changes implemented by the Home Office in respect of the changes they have made to the National Crime Recording Standards. And just for some clarification, theft of vehicles is up by 58% in this performance year, and cycle theft is up by 24%. Amnesty Undertaken highlights the following points as being the main threats against the CSP in 2018-19 and in the coming 2019-20 performance year. These are the increasing social and criminal impact of sustained drug misuse on the individual and the local community, criminal exploitation of both adults and youth at risk, so county lines and locality-based crime groups, and the substance safeguarding concerns. The increasing threat posed by the significant number of high-risk youth-related cases, compounded by the number of youth-related knife carriers. On a positive, the OPCC has selected Charnwood to be one of only three sites to trial the People's Own concept, theory being based upon a multi-agency neighbourhood management model. The Bell Foundry Estate was chosen as one of the People's Owns, and a dedicated team is now in place taking this project forward. Finally, the partnership has identified several critical areas of business that require attention to deliver an effective crime and disorder control plan. The recommendations regarding the focus for the partnership in 2019-2020 are outlined on page 64, and they include the development of an effective drug strategy, continuing the development of the Joint Action Group and the Youth Action Joint Action Group to enable early identification of adults and young people at risk of criminal exploitation, developing an effective control plan within our town centres aimed at reducing street-related antisocial behaviour and reducing commercial crime. Ensuring all agencies take an active role in the development and implementation of the people zones within the Bell Foundry estate.
Okay, thank you very much. Any officers want to add anything before we go to the Q&A? Is that okay? Brilliant. Committee members, does anybody have any questions that they'd like to ask?
If I could, I find this very interesting. I mean, some of the figures you worry about, because particularly at the moment with knife crime, and I think that will probably come up in further questions about whether it is prevalent in this borough and whether action we're taking to preventative action rather than reactive. The other question I was going to ask, I understand that there are an extra approximately 100 police officers coming into Leicestershire. They've obviously got to be interviewed, passed all the exams, etc., etc. Will this help the Charnwood area, or will they be scattered further afield because you're so efficient? but also, I'd like to know, I was given the understanding as well that PCSOs, there isn't funding to recruit more of them, but I understand that if some leave, that will stay as a static number that we've got already across the county. I understand that's been agreed.
Sure. And yep. Answer yep. all of them. The knife crime, to start with, the knife yep. crime is a significant national yes. issue. We do see it in Charnwood. We have seen it. The events yesterday have seen it again. What is really encouraging is most market towns have seen the increase. Charnwood is the only place in Leicestershire that is starting to see a decrease in knife crime. So that's a really hard message to come across after we've had a stabbing yesterday, but actually we're the first place in Leicestershire that's starting to see that knife crime tail off. And there's a number of reasons for that. All our schools are really proactive in working with us and want those messages in the schools. We're doing other multi-agency work. We've got Go Getter, who we always work really closely with, that are doing their own initiatives in schools as well. Everybody's really keen to push it, and we picked it up really early as an issue and have been working on it for the last 2 years. It's still a significant issue. Obviously, any knife incidents that occur, the results can be fatal. It was only last year that we had a fatal stabbing as a result of knife, but at the moment we've got a lot of work going on. It's one of our priorities going forward to continue with that as an area of focus, and the early results we're seeing at the moment is I'm not going to say we're on top of it, but it's actually going in the right direction, and it's unfortunate that we had another stabbing yesterday. That would be my view on knives. I don't know if anyone wants to add anything else.
I've already repeated that violence against persons with injury is down by 8%, yeah, which brilliant. So the actual stats do show that we are getting on top of it, but there's still a lot of work to do.
I think there was a secondary question on PCSOs.
Yeah, the PC numbers that you said about the extra yes. 120, most of those will go into neighbourhood policing, and Charnwood will get some of those. Obviously, we're not going to get anywhere near the full amount.
No, but you get some.
But we should get some, and PCSOs, the force has made a decision to set their PCSO number, so we've started PCSO recruitment again, and the net outcome of that will be more PCSOs in Charnwood again. So
good news. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Wellington.
Yeah, mine's just a quick one. I realise that the big problem with these figures is a lot of them you can't actually do anything about. And one that I wanted to pick up particularly was the car theft.
Yeah.
Now, I've read reports that the keyless entry has made a life a lot easier for criminals. They can even use an amplifier. If your key is hanging up in the kitchen, they can use an amplifier to amplify the signal and get into your car, which is parked in the drive outside. And I just wondered, have you any idea what sort of proportion was due to things like that?
The first thing to say is most of those figures, a good proportion of those figures, are actually motorbikes rather than motor cars.
Okay.
In relation to the keyless entry, there are only certain cars that are susceptible to that, and we've not actually seen any evidence anywhere in Leicestershire that that's been a problem. not particularly reassuring, but most people steal cars by breaking into the house and taking the keys still.
Okay. But I'm surprised that what have you any idea why the dramatic increase in motorbikes?
We've got a group of young people that are enjoying stealing them and riding them around, unfortunately. We have caught them. We haven't managed to get them prison sentences yet, which is a difficult thing to do for young people, but it's a crime of trend, I suppose, for them to steal motorbikes at the moment and then ride them around.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Anson.
Can you actually just give me a ballpoint overview of how you're coping with the vulnerable people in the location in Charnwood?
Any particular vulnerability?
Well, all, because here on page 81 it gives us that priority 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are actually, are you, is it coming to, is it gelling or is it...
There are various forums that work with vulnerable people.
Yes.
Some that cover the whole CSP, some that are within organisations.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen some real successes this last year with working with adult vulnerability specialists.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always been easy. We've had to put considerable pressure on to get the results we wanted, but we did get the results we wanted. So I would say that it's something that we're very alive to. We look out in particular for vulnerability in our victims, and we've got good links in with adult social care, child services, to put the right packages in place around those young people.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a challenge to do that easily, but it's something that I think we do quite well.
Oh, that's good to share.
Just to support points on that, Chair, I think one of the things with vulnerable, as you say, priority three is about the adults and the youths. I think what me and Dwight and the rest of the team picked up very quickly is that we had a bit of an increase in youth issue in the borough. Now, we have a joint action group that has always historically looked at the ASP, looked at the crime, looked at adults as one. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Dwight's the chair of that, and obviously, as Charnwood is faced with many difficulties, that's probably wasn't the right forum. So we've taken the youths out of that forum altogether. We now have a youth JAG, so social care come to it, the Loughborough Inclusion Partnership come to it, all of our agencies involved in youth sit in this table every 4 weeks, which we've run now since September.
Yeah.
Look, there are quite a few issues there. You know, at the moment, it's fair to say we've got quite a few of these individuals who are very complex, as you can imagine, come from complex family backgrounds. I think we've probably said at the moment we've got 13 high-risk cases of youths at risk, both of criminal exploitation, harm to others and harm to self. So I think, as Dwight says, what we've done as a partnership has been upstream, identified that risk, rather than do nothing. We've obviously reacted early doors. What we're doing is meet as a forum and try and mitigate it. Mm-hmm. But difficult as it is, as we've said before, these are really complex cases.
And does this only pertain to the town scenario, or does this go outside the quite across the
borough? All boroughs. So that's what we discussed. Some of the issues that are happening in Syston as well, and obviously we value that happened there. So it goes across the whole borough.
Thank you, that's reassuring. Thank you very much.
Sure, Councillor Harris.
Councillor Kate Harris, in our pre-meeting we were discussing how useful the quarterly figures were, and we would like more of those in the report, because I noticed in my area of Dishley and Haddon, and including Shepshed, in the figures from April to January 19, three of the figures are increases, but then in the quarterly figures, for the last two of those three quarters, the figures are down.
Yeah.
And on the face of it, that sounds contradictory, but am I right in thinking that in the first quarter there, you've got most of the crime, and then it's gone down because you had a campaign there?
It can be a campaign, can be a post. A crime trend can have a massive impact on figures, and it's a Shepshed more than the Dishley and Haddon side, but we had a significant issue again involving youth that we had to put a lot of effort into to solve, and at the point that was solved, it's had a massive impact on the rest of the year in terms of their crime figures, but they were so high at the start of the year that your overall increases remained.
Yes, thank you. For the officer, it would be useful if we had the the first of those three, so that, and we could see the three quarters with the three quarters in the other table, so that we don't have to work it out that the 700 of the 1100 occurred in the first quarter. On page 60.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. We'll obviously take that on board.
Page 66 has three quarters in April to January. Page 68 only has two quarters in it. So one trend seems to contradict the other, so you have to work it out yourself as to what that means.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you, Councillor Harris. Councillor Parsons.
Yes, thank you. I have a couple of sort of detailed questions and a couple of slightly more strategic questions, if I may. Just going back to the knife issue about the fact that we've had a reduction, I note at page 81 in the reference to the fact that we have the highest number of youth-related habitual knife carriers, which would seem to contradict what we're saying about our success in reducing knife-related crime if we, by some mechanism, know we've got the highest number of carriers.
Not necessarily. Habitual knife carrier is a term we use for somebody that has been involved in three knife-related incidents within a two-year period. Once they are badged as habitual knife carrier, we often keep them as habitual knife carrier because we continue to work with them, even if they're not involved in further knife-related incidents. And I cannot recall the last time we put forward a new referral for her habitual knife carrier. So yes, we have got the highest number, but they've been identified for some time and they're young people that we continue to work with. And when I say we, it's wider than just the CSP. There's a lot of people that put a lot of effort into these young people.
But
they remain, even though the knife incidents were actually, touch wood, started dropping off.
Okay, that makes more sense, because I wouldn't have understood that from the paper, the two-year period. Just a small point, it's only just come up in the conversation. You mentioned the youth JAG is new, but there's a JAG for child care, child prevention, child, but because that's been running for a while. I remember having comments and observations about that JAG multi-agency .. Has it transformed across, or is this a brand new, is the youth JAG different to the one I'm remembering from 3 years ago when I had some queries about that?
Yeah, go on, you do that.
We just constantly review our governance structure and what will work best. We've currently still got our normal joint action group as part of that. So the joint action group meets.
And what's that called, as opposed to the youth JAG?
The joint action group, the JAG.
Yeah,
JAG. So that deals with all of the business. And we have two subgroups as well that deal with our two high profile areas. So that's B62 and B65. So the town centre and the Bell Foundry and the East. Yeah. So the people's own area. And the youth business was taking up so much time and it was such a high risk issue that we decided collectively as agencies to take the youth element out of the main JAG and have a separate subgroup, basically concentrating and doing more detailed work around those high risk.
So are new people around the table in that youth JAG? Because I note the comment in there that there's issues about agreeing the priorities going forward between the agencies. Is that because there's new agencies who aren't used to working together from the previous JAG, or is that because we're now dealing with it differently under the youth bit of the JAG?
I think there's a combination of that. We have got conflicting agendas across agencies, so what people want for the outcome of that. We're asking people to think slightly differently and thinking about what tools everybody's got in the toolbox and what's collectively best for the whole solution. And I think there are some challenges and conflicts around what agencies want out of that. And it is quite new. There has been quite a lot of challenge from the Community Safety Partnership and at Chris's level and at Strategic Partnership Board about making sure that we have got agencies on board and that we're all collectively trying to achieve the best outcome for all involved. And youth offending and